afternoon is in case number 85693, Massland versus the First Judicial District Court with Sierra Pacific Power as the real party in interest. Are the parties ready to proceed?
Yes.
Okay. Great. Why don't you come on up, counsel for petitioner? Would you like to reserve any time for rebuttal?
Yes, Your Honor. My intent is to reserve 7 minutes.
Okay. So as you know, what will happen is when it gets down to 7 minutes, you'll get the yellow light and a tone that will remind you, but the clock will keep ticking down all the way to zero if you're still standing there. Go ahead.
May it please the court, Chief Justice Kadish, members of the court, my name is Jim Levitt, and we represent the appellant in this matter, Massland Acquisition, who's referred to as the landowners in the brief. My co-counsel, Michael Snyder, is with me, as well as a representative of Massland, Matthew DeGesti. For this court, the people of the state of Nevada in 2006 and 2008 went to the extraordinary measure to amend the Nevada State Constitution with 9 eminent domain provisions. Those 9 eminent domain provisions are commonly referred to as the PISTOL amendments, which is an acronym for People's Initiative to Stop the Taking of Our Land. It's also known as the Nevada Property Owners Bill of Rights. Those 9 provisions provide certain limitations on the power of eminent domain in the state of Nevada and provide certain guarantees and protections to Nevada state landowners. The very first provision is adopted as the Article 1, Section 22, Subclause 1 to the Nevada State Constitution, and it addresses the issue of public use. And importantly, public use is the precursor or the precondition to every single eminent domain action. If there's no public use, the eminent domain action should be dismissed. If there's a public use, you move into the eminent domain action. So that is the number one issue in every eminent domain action, and Provision 1 of the PISTOL amendments addresses that issue and states clearly, without exception, that every transfer from one private party to another private party is not considered a public use in the state of Nevada, whether that is a direct or indirect transfer. Stated another way, public use shall not be an indirect or direct transfer from one private party to another private party. There's no exception to that rule. It doesn't matter who the taker is or how the taker is labeled under that rule, and it doesn't matter what the use of the property is.
What do you make of the use of the word transfer in the prohibition you just recited, but then the modifier taken as to property? To me, that suggests a deliberate use of two different words, where the property has to be taken in eminent domain and not thereafter directly or indirectly transferred.
Well, it's
party to private party.
I understand the question, and thank you, Justice Pickering, for the question. The second, there's two sentences in Provision 1. Okay, the first sentence doesn't include the word government, doesn't include the word taker or whatever you or identify a taker. It doesn't even identify the use. It prohibits all private-to-private transfers. It does say shall not include the direct or indirect transfer of any interest of property that has been taken in an eminent domain proceeding from one private party to another private party. The second sentence is important there. It's critical to that interpretation. In all eminent domain actions, that means in the eminent domain action itself, the government shall have the burden to prove that public use. So the word transfer and taken.
But subparagraph 8 then defines government in a way that encompasses public utilities.
Well, absolutely, and Provision 8 is an inclusionary provision. It's not an exclusionary provision. Section 8 defines government as all private and public parties that have been given the power of eminent domain by the legislature. And that Section 8 states very clearly, for all provisions contained in this section, government shall be defined as. It's an inclusionary provision that says that government includes all private and public entities or persons, and that all of the provisions contained in this section apply to them. So what it's saying is that, what Section 8 is saying is that all parties who have the power of eminent domain are bound by and subject to and have to comply with the preceding 7 sections. It would be somewhat outrageous or somewhat inconsistent, or actually entirely inconsistent, with the purpose behind PISTOL if these first seven provisions were listed, which are limitations on the government, and then Section 8 was read as an exclusionary clause to exclude certain parties from those provisions.
Well, if there's a provision that says that if it allows government to encompass a private entity that has the power of eminent domain, but then Section 1 doesn't allow the property to be given to the private party with the power of eminent domain, that would leave the null set, I think. What's the point?
Well, no, because the Nevada Department of Transportation has the power of eminent domain, as well as the City of Las Vegas.
That's not a private entity.
Absolutely, but they're also bound by Section 1. Section 1 tracks title. Provision 1 prohibits all private-to-private transfers, regardless of whether the taker has the power of eminent domain. It's irrelevant whether the taker has the power of eminent domain.
Doesn't the provision in the Constitution, the use of the word taken, rather suggest that there has already been the eminent domain taking, and then subsequently there cannot be a private-to-private transfer?
Well, I think you have to read the provision as a whole, and the provision as a whole states that there cannot be a direct or indirect transfer of property that's taken in an eminent domain action, and there's no other way to say it. You have to say that the property is being taken in an eminent domain action. When property is taken in an eminent domain action, there's a complaint in eminent domain that's filed. Once that complaint in eminent domain is filed, that property is taken by eminent domain. And that's why the second sentence of Provision 1 is so critical to read that in conjunction with the first sentence, which is that in that eminent domain action, the government has the burden to prove that public use. It doesn't presuppose, what that would mean is that inside the context of an eminent domain action, the taking agency or the taking party could transfer the property from one private party to another private party, but they couldn't do that after the taking already occurred. Provision 1 was a provision to stop the taking of our land. Provision 1 clearly states that it prohibits all private-to-private transfers within the context of an eminent domain action and also after an eminent domain action has closed.
The purpose of that, counsel, really was to prevent entities from transferring private properties to developers for profit and maybe tearing down an existing structure to build something more profitable. But then NRS 3710 confers the use provision, and under NRS 370095, subparagraph K contemplates that the public utility would be acting in the stead of the government, correct?
Correct.
In the sense that if they are for the purposes of pipelines for petroleum products or natural gas, which I believe is what we have here, how do you square that then with your interpretation of subsection 1?
Well, our interpretation of subsection 1 is subsection 1 tracks title. Okay. When subsection 1 was adopted, there were four cases that it intended to overturn: Kelo, Pappas, Iacometti, and the Berman case. In those cases, there was a two-step process that occurred. First was the property being transferred to a private entity. If the property was being transferred to a private entity, then the court went to the second analysis, which was, is that property going to be used for a public-type use? Okay, which is what you just referred to, Justice Lee. What Provision 2 is, it removed the second step entirely from the equation and said that all private-to-private transfers are prohibited. So the court doesn't even go to the second inquiry to determine if there is a public use that's being made of the property. The court doesn't go to look if there's a public benefit that's being made. And that was the intent of Provision 1, was to end those type of takings.
To cut you off, but I'm also interested in your thoughts on the jury trial provision, and you're past your 7 minutes, so we're in your time, but I want to understand whether you would concede, would you not, that in a civil case, constitutionally, you have a right to a jury trial, but only if you have a genuine issue of material fact that goes to the jury, correct?
Yes. In a civil trial, I would concede that issue. This is a rather unique.
And you concede that that's the same is true here with respect to the provision in Article 1, Section 22, such that there needs to be a genuine issue of material fact for there to be a jury trial.
I think To a certain extent, yes, Justice Pickering, but I think that this is a unique provision that states that if the landowner requests a jury trial, that landowner shall be entitled to a jury trial, and the jury would be instructed on provision one, and then the jury would be asked two questions. Is Mass Land a private party, and is Nevada Energy a private entity? And if so, that transfer from Mass Land to Nevada Energy would be a prohibited transfer, contrary to the public use clause.
But those are the issues of fact. That's what I want to understand. What issues of fact do you contend exist in this case that entitled you to a jury trial?
Well, those would be the two issues of fact.
Any others?
I mean, there were several questions of fact that arose. There were six different affidavits that were submitted. Those affidavits
were... I understand the issue with the affidavits, but it looks like they were going on a transmission line and then realized it was a distribution mm-hmm. line and then they didn't need it. The permitting process was different. So I don't see how that's a genuine issue of material fact as to public use.
Well, one of the requirements of public use is it needs to be needed. There's a need and necessity for the project. And so one of the questions that was presented is whether this project was actually needed for this alignment. And there were six different affidavits that were submitted, and the landowner wanted to take depositions and discover what the proper alignment was, indeed whether this alignment was needed for this particular project, and was never given that opportunity. So yes, there were issues, genuine issues as to those, but I will.
You would agree that summary judgment would be appropriate in a case on public use, theoretically.
If there was absolutely no genuine issues of material fact, but I think that this is a unique provision where it does carve this out and takes this out of the province of the district court judge and puts it in the hands of the district court jury, and the district court jury would be instructed on this issue, and the district court jury should resolve that based upon provision two of the Pistol Amendments.
Would you concede that there are no other states that have prohibited public use utility companies from exercising the power of eminent domain?
I would concede that issue. I don't know if they have or not. However, the issue here isn't whether Nevada NV Energy has the power of eminent domain. That's not the issue. The question is property being transferred from one private party to another private party? That's the question. And it doesn't matter. The Nevada Department of Transportation can have the power of eminent domain, but it still can't transfer private property in an eminent domain action, either directly or indirectly, to another private party.
Is NV Energy a private party in this context or a public utility?
Well, it's a good question, Justice Stiglitz. And in the lower court hearings, there was a motion to dismiss and a motion for occupancy, and the district court judge entered two orders. Order denying the motion to dismiss and an order granting occupancy. And in both of those orders, the district court judge made findings of facts and conclusions of law seven times that NV Energy is a private entity. So NV Energy conceded that it's a private entity at the lower court.
There's no stay in place in this case. Is there a trial date set?
There is not a trial date because pursuant to the Pappas decision, the procedure is to challenge the denial of the public use immediately by writ petition. And so the landowners brought this writ petition pursuant to the Pappas case immediately, so a trial is not set.
Would you concede that during the time that this case has been, it was maybe settled and then the settlement fell apart, but the transmission line has been, or distribution line has been, constructed and is in place, is that correct?
It is constructed in place. There was a motion to stay was presented to the lower district court judge.
It was denied, and you filed it here and withdrew it.
And withdrew it because Nevada NV Energy risked building its project while this case was pending. And knowing that there was a stay request and knowing that there's a possibility that the lower district court judge would be reversed and possibly ejected from the property. So there is a live controversy, and a live controversy is there a public use?
Right. You would say ejectment should follow if...
Absolutely, Your Honor. And we cited the case law for that. And I'll save my last minute and a half for a rebuttal.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. Kirby Grucco on behalf of Real Party and Interest, NV Energy. May it please the court, Chief Justice, members of the court. With me is my partner, Jeremy Duke, Colin Harlow is my client representative from NV Energy, and Joel Henriot is the amici for Southwest Gas. The issues in this case are that NV Energy is not violating the Nevada Constitution by acting as the government and taking property for a public utility purpose. NV Energy is taking property as the government, is not transferring property. There is no transfer that's prohibited in this case. There's been a lot of discussion about what is a private party versus a private entity versus a private agency. All three of those terms are utilized in Section 22.8 of Article 1 of the Constitution. There is a distinction in those definitions. Article 1 of Section 22.1 says there cannot be a transfer from a private party to a private party. NV Energy is not a private party as defined by the Constitution. It is the government acting as a public utility to acquire property for a public utility purpose as defined in Section 22.8, as also recognized and needs to be construed harmoniously with NRS 37.0101K because it's for a gas facility, which is a public use, historically been identified as a public use. These public uses are great value to Nevada's constituents. The same people that voted for Pistol in 2006 and 2008 were not of the understanding through any of the materials, should you determine there's some sort of ambiguity in the terms private party, private entity, and private agency. And you could look at the history of the initiative. There was nothing in the initiative that indicated that the voters would understand that they were eliminating NV Energy's rights to provide them public gas and electricity to the public. These are of great public interest. NV Energy is regulated under NRS 703, 704, it's required to provide electricity and gas to the public interest. It's required to serve the public's interest. It's regulated by the Public Utilities Commission of Nevada, It has to serve the public interest of the state of Nevada. If NV Energy is not providing these services that are delegated to it by the state under NRS 703 and 704 and authorized for eminent domain under NRS 37, there is not a replacement entity that would be providing the gas and the power in these regions that NV Energy services. That's something that the petitioner doesn't even address, that there is no replacement for the gas and power in these areas should NV Energy be determined to not have the power of eminent domain as the government, defined as a government, not defined as a private party, and the government is defined as a private entity, which NV Energy is, with the power of eminent domain under NRS 37, which NV Energy is. It's also defined as a private agency that's been delegated powers by the state, which NV Energy is. It's a private agency who's been delegated under NRS 703 and 704 the authority and the obligation, the duty to provide public utilities to Nevadans.
Do you think that NRS 37010 that defines the public use in subsection K as relevant to this argument here would negate the need for any type of jury trial? Stated differently, is Nevada Energy's burden to show that this is public use under the Constitution satisfied by that statutory provision, or does there need to be a jury trial to address whatever genuine issues of material fact may remain?
Well, it's a good question. I think that's where it goes. Is there a genuine issue of material fact? You know, the issue is that a public use for a public utility has been long recognized under, Nevada's case of Dayton. Is there a great public benefit that's being provided? In this case, there is. And then under the, there's an Alabama power company case that was referred to in Kelo. That's a United States Supreme Court case that indicate common carriers are important to providing, they're private entities, they're providing public utility services. And so if there is a determination that NV Energy is authorized under the Constitution, it's not a private party, to private party transfer, there is no taking for purposes of transferring it to a private party, there is a taking by NV Energy as the government to use it for a public use that is a public use, then the only thing that is left for the jury to determine in cases where it's been legislatively identified as a public use is there a genuine issue of disputed fact as to whether NV Energy is actually putting it to the use it says it's putting it. So does it say that it's putting it to a use for a gas distribution line that provides benefit to the public? Is that factually accurate or not? A district court jury would have the right to determine that.
But that's not the basis the district court ruled. I mean, you argued in district court on the strength of the statutory provision for the district court to determine public use rather than the constitutional provision and carved out sort of an exception for that. Would this procedure require a remand if we were to say, yes, they have a right of jury trial, but there needs to be a genuine issue of material fact to get it past the summary judgment kind of determination? for it to go to a jury trial, because it seems to me that the district court had entered findings of fact and conclusions of law, and it was accrediting the argument that the 37010, whatever the provision is for the district court to determine the public use before occupancy, that that superseded the constitutional provision that says a jury shall determine public use. Long question, I apologize for it.
No, you're fine, Justice. I understand the question. And there's two parts to my response. So the district court judge determined that NV Energy has the right under the Constitution, Section 22.1, to acquire the property. It's taken the property for public use. Also determined that that was not a prohibited transfer. That's what's up on writ here. So those are legal issues that I believe this court has to determine and not remand to the district court. Because the district court judge already made those decisions, that NV Energy has the power.
They're trying to writ the determination that you're entitled to occupancy because you sufficiently showed public use.
The challenge on the writ challenge is actually that NV Energy does not have the power of eminent domain because it is a private party that is acquiring property for a private use.
Well, but they're also arguing that they should have had a jury trial on public use.
Correct. And so the second part of my answer is I don't believe it should be remanded on the legal issues. If there are issues of fact that this court believes need to be resolved by the jury, that would be an appropriate means to remand it with instructions to the district court judge as to the issues of law. You know, and what we're asking for is that you would determine that NV Energy is not prohibited from acquiring property for public use, that this is not a prohibited transfer, and that these are recognized public uses. So if it was go back on remand for the district court jury to make a decision, it would have to be instructed on the issues of law on those three issues, and then it would determine if NV Energy is actually using the property for the public use. Section, 22.
Is there any factual conflict in this record on those points?
I do not believe so, Your Honor.
So basically what you're saying, if we were to remand it, might be for the district court to impanel an advisory jury under Rule 39 to just issue an answer to that particular question?
Well, my answer to that question, Justice, is that I don't believe it should be remanded to the jury, but if that's what, obviously you have the prerogative of doing that. If you feel it needs to be remanded to the jury, I think it should be under that process and provide clear instructions to the district court judge, who can then provide clear instructions of law to the jury as to what they're determining. Petitioners argued that the district court jury would have to determine NV Energy is a private party and therefore not authorized to condemn property as a private party. Our argument is NV Energy is the government, as defined in Section 22.8, as a private entity with the power of eminent domain, is not a private party, is not using it for private development, is using it for a public use. So, my thought is if it were to be remanded, it would have to be with instructions to the judge, who can then instruct the jury that the Supreme Court has made these decisions as a matter of law, and it's up to you to determine if, and I'm going to use the phrase from the Constitution so we give full meaning to all these phrases, that is there actually being used for public use. So Section 22.2 says the jury has the ability to determine is it actually being put to the use that has been identified by the condemning authority. And that would be a question of fact.
Are you familiar with a procedure like this anywhere else where they have a jury actually public use making that determination?
I have not, Your Honor.
Okay.
Would you acknowledge, though, that subsection 2 of Section 22 does contemplate a jury determination prior to the government's occupancy as to whether the taking is for a public use?
Yes. Under the circumstances, it says as to whether the taking is
so
actually for a public use.
There was occupancy, and there was no jury determination, although one was requested.
So, yes, Your Honor. So my response to that is this, that when it's a clear matter of law and there is no disputed issue of material fact, it was appropriate for the judge to render a ruling.
Was there a briefing to the district judge who made this decision about genuine issue of material fact? We're using that here today, and that's the language we know from summary judgment. But was that put to the judge? Was that part of the decision?
Your Honor, I believe the record supports, and our argument was, there is no issue for the jury to determine. We argued that in the district court. We've argued that on appeal through the writ, that there was no issue for the jury to determine in this particular case. That's not to say there aren't other cases where the jury might have an issue to determine to give that, that meaning, Section 22.2. But in this particular case, NV Energy's use was clearly for a public use. We argued there was no disputed issue as a material fact. We presented affidavits. There was no contrary evidence provided. There was just arguments as a matter of law that NV Energy is a private party and therefore is not authorized to condemn property as a private party. And our argument's always been that NV Energy is the government that's authorized to condemn private property for a public use.
You were arguing partly in your brief that we should defer to the Public Utilities Commission's determination as to the propriety of this project of yours. And I was perplexed by that because it looks like that got withdrawn, and then the PUC's amicus brief makes clear that it was that issue with transmission versus distribution. So was there ever a determination before the PUC as to the propriety of this project?
So two answers to that question. So number one, it was a distribution level line that doesn't require a permit from the PUCN. But the second part of the answer is the PUCN still has the regular authority and did exercise that authority, as you saw in the amicus brief, to go out and inspect the property and the project after it was done and determine that on the property at issue here that we complied with the distribution level.
But there was some 9-mile stretch or something that...
There was a 40-foot stretch 9 miles away that did not comply, and NV Energy was fined for not complying with obtaining a permit first for that stretch.
Okay, so help us out here. What would it look like in an instruction to a jury on evaluating whether this was appropriate for public use? What are the criteria for that?
So I think it's a four-part test or four-part analysis. Number one is there needs to be a legal determination that NV Energy is not violating the Constitution by taking private property for public utility use. I think number two, there needs to be a legal determination that NV Energy is not, accomplishing a prohibited transfer. This is a taking by a governmental entity. It's not a transfer that's prohibited by the Constitution. Number three, that NV Energy's use as a recognized public use for gas under NRS 37.010K, as well as the body of historic law we've cited, like Dayton and Alabama Power Company. And then number four, in getting those instructions, the jury's instruction would be, now it's up to you to determine if NV Energy is actually using it for a public use for a gas line, or is it that benefits the public, or is it using it for some other purpose other than a gas line, or is it using it for a purpose that it says is a gas line that benefits the public, but it doesn't actually benefit the public.
Okay. And is it your position, along with amicus, that those determinations ordinarily would enjoy agency deference, and that such deference is appropriate given the limited expertise of jurors?
Well, yes, Your Honor, and that's supported by case law in this sense, that, the Dayton case was the first one in 1876 that said this in Nevada, that, the state, the sovereign, has unlimited authority except it's limited by the Constitution. And the state's delegated eminent domain powers and authority and public use needs and services to NV Energy under 703 and 704 and NRS 37. So the state's delegated those powers, the legislative powers under those statutes, to NV Energy and identified it has the power of eminent domain for those public use purposes.
I guess their point on the other side is that we have a Nevada constitutional provision that places a burden on the government to demonstrate public use and gives the landowner the right to a jury trial on demand as to that determination. So I guess I'm just struggling about where is the line here as to what's triable by jury and what isn't.
Yeah, and let me help you on that, Your Honor. So I think it's like any other standard. Any other constitutional right to a jury trial does not mean that the parties are immune from the court determining as a matter of law that there are no disputed issues of material fact. NRCP 56 or 50 for a summary judgment or directed verdict. The same analysis applies here. The district court should have the power to determine there is no genuine issue of disputed material fact that needs
How
to go to the jury.
But if there, the language, yes. though, that says in all eminent domain actions, a property owner shall be entitled at the property owner's election. It doesn't seem like there's much room for other things to happen.
Well, Your Honor, I believe it has to be a legitimate dispute. So, for instance, otherwise we get into a lot of non-meritorious disputes, and every single eminent domain action will involve an owner challenge just because they say they can. So it has to be a meritorious dispute. There has to be genuine issues to be resolved by the district court jury. The reality is the district court jury doesn't resolve issues of law. They resolve issues of fact. So their task is to resolve disputed issues of fact, and they have to be guided by the law. If they can't be guided by the law and a ruling from this court that says NV Energy's taking is not prohibited, NV Energy's taking is allowed, and it is for a public use, and you're to determine factually if they're actually using it for that. Thank you, Your Honors.
May I ask a quick question?
Go ahead, Justice Stern.
I know Mr. Levitt acknowledged that the project had been completed during the delay period, and I apologize, Mr. Levitt, if I didn't hear everything, but is it my understanding from the Rainbow Bend homeowners amici brief is that it's operational as well. So it's not just completed, it's providing service?
Yeah, it does provide service to the communities, and it's a needed service. And if the service is not provided, then communities like Rainbow Bend, which has over 400 homes, will not have natural gas service.
Thank you.
Thank you, Justices.
Thanks, Council.
As Mr. Grucco just stated, there were several affidavits submitted to the district court. The district court believed every affidavit and took Nevada Energy at NV Energy at its word. It believed what happened at the PUCN. As you stated, Justice Stiglitz, there were questions presented as to whether the PUCN had actually approved this project or not.
But Council, are you disputing the fact that this gas line is implemented, it's operational, homeowners are benefiting from the use of this natural gas? I mean, is that in dispute?
No, that's not in dispute, Your Honor. I mean, but the fact of the matter is we were not given an opportunity to have discovery on this issue, for which we have an absolute right under the Constitution to have a jury trial on. We have an absolute right to present to the jury, is this a private-to-private transfer, which is prohibited under Section 1? We have an absolute right to present to the jury whether this is actually a public use, as set forth in the Constitution itself.
The absolute right is as to the term public, as this is a public use, right? It doesn't say that we get a jury trial on the transfer to personal. It just discusses the public use, correct?
Yes, but public use is defined as not including a transfer from one private party to another private party. That's the point. Is subsection 2 says you get a jury trial on public use. Subsection 1 defines public use as not being, public use shall not be an indirect or direct transfer from one private party to another private party. So you have absolutely, in every eminent domain action, a right to a jury trial on those issues. That public use, that specific public use issue. And to just, as if I could just go for 15 more seconds on the word transfer.
15 seconds, go.
The word transfer is what happens in an eminent domain case. When there's a private to private transfer, that's the eminent domain case. The property is being transferred from one party to another in every eminent domain case. That's why the word transfer was used. This is a private to private transfer. The writ should be granted, and the lower district judge should be reversed. Thank you.
Chief, one.
Go ahead, Justice Perry.
Go ahead,
Perry.
What's ejectment look like here?
Well, ejectment would be, listen, this is a private-to-private transfer. It's a clear prohibition to provision, number one.
What's it look like?
Number two, we remand. The district court judge says to Nevada Energy, you shouldn't have built your project. Pappas is a warning.
So then what?
Well, then they remove their pipe. And they relocate that pipe outside of the private property. Remember, Justice Perrier, but this court in City of Las Vegas versus Cliff Shadows held that there's patent reservations that governmental entities can use. There's public right-of-ways that governmental entities can use. And in the rare circumstance when those aren't available, they can buy property on the open market to do that.
Thanks.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead, Justice Stiglitz. Hang on.
Quick. Yes.
This line was to be put in, or is put in, to an existing utility corridor, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
So it was a tax on the easement, and that was the purpose of the eminent domain action, is there was an additional taking of an additional interest in property.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Okay. We'll be at ease for a moment while we